I'd like to read the scripture for this morning. It's found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. Luke 14, starting at verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, "Will you give a dinner and a banquet? When you give a dinner and a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Lord, bless His word. Good morning. My name is Eli Beltran, and missionary of this church. You guys have been faithful supporters of my ministry for years. Wow, I bet it's been 20. And I thank you for that. I'll give you a quick update. Since 2001, I've been on the staff of Youth for Christ International. Started out as a liaison director between Youth for Christ International and Youth for Christ USA. I was then asked to become the pioneering directors for Youth for Christ International for this hemisphere. And then because I speak Spanish, I was asked to start pioneering in Latin America. So since the beginning of 2002, 2003, I've helped pioneer Mexico, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, El Salvador, done a lot of trips to Cuba to try to get Youth for Christ started in Cuba, have not been successful. It's been really hard. The government there just, as you know, is pretty strict. Matter of fact, they have a rule that if it wasn't there before the revolution, you couldn't start anything new as far as the church is concerned. You can't build a church building if it wasn't there before the revolution. You can fix things up and so forth. But since the folks only earn about $30 a month, there's very little money left over to put into buildings, so they have not done that. But we have a lot of contacts, and Lord willing, someday we'll be able to get a ministry started in Cuba. But the church is growing tremendously in Cuba. You know what happens when persecution comes, and the Lord just kind of makes a way around that and does His thing, and people are coming to Christ, and the church is growing. And youth ministries are happening kind of under the radar, and that's kind of neat. Now, for 20 years, I've been praying for Youth of Christ to get started in Puerto Rico. But you know what they say about a prophet in his own land? I happen to be Puerto Rican, so I've been really, I've made a lot of trips in 20 years and met a lot of pastors and congregations and missionaries and interviews on radio, and just could never get it going until this past April. This past April, we were able to put a full-time couple into Puerto Rico, and it happened to fit right after the hurricane, after Maria came, and the people of Puerto Rico were open to any kind of help. And so our couple started hosting teams coming in to work in Puerto Rico for the disaster relief. They hosted five separate teams. Someone had rented them a house for $1 a year, and they took the bedrooms and put bunk beds in and hosted their family and all the people that came on the teams in the same house, went up into the mountains with bottled water and food, and found people that were very needy and helped them, started fixing roofs and building houses and working with a local church. So the church just loved them, and they became part of that local church, and now the community is saying, yeah, we want you. And they've now started 2 Youth for Christ clubs, and the ministry is really taken off. So the Lord has his own timing. 20 years of praying and trying to get it going on my own just didn't happen, but it's going really great now. In the last few years, I've slowed down a bit. I used to go and travel quite a bit, at least every month, sometimes more than that. Sometimes I'd be gone a week, maybe 2 weeks. Did one trip for 3 weeks and decided not doing that again. That was way too much to be away from the family, and so I slowed down on that. But a couple of years ago, I had a heart stoppage and had a pacemaker put in for my birthday. It just happened to be on my birthday. And for that next year, I didn't travel very much, and so I've slowed down. I'm starting to realize that I am getting old. It's hard to face. Wow, you know, I used to do all kinds of stuff with kids, stay up all night, do ski parties, and I gave up skiing. I gave up the all-nighters. I gave up getting on ladders because I almost fell off one here a couple of years ago. I said, what am I doing up on this ladder? Get down. And I said, thank you, Lord, for taking care of me on the top. Now I'm staying down. But the Lord keeps blessing, and now that I will be 70, I hate to think about it, I will be 73 come April. Starting to think, well, maybe I need to be thinking about changing, doing something different. So pray for me. It'd be quite a change for me. I'm still not thinking retirement. I don't like the word. I asked the Lord to let me stay in ministry full time at least till 2021. I said this, you know, 20 years ago. Of course, about 10 years ago, I said, what are you asking for? So I've got a couple more years to get to that place, but it's close. So pray for me as I have to make some decisions. You know, what am I going to do? I don't see myself being a greeter at Walmart, but the Lord has his own ways of doing things, and so you just have to say, okay, Lord, what's next? We'll do it. But thank you. You guys have been great. I appreciated your support of me and Marsh and my family. Of course, we are now alone. The family is all gone. My eldest, Mark, who's 40. He's in his 40s. Anyway, I just did his wedding here a couple of weeks ago. He had his first marriage, and we were excited about that. He said, man, it took you a long time. And my youngest is 38, so we're now enjoying grandkids. My youngest and family are visiting there this weekend, so I got to visit with my beautiful little granddaughter, my youngest granddaughter, Clementine Rose, who loves the grandpa. She just, yeah, well, thank you. This morning, I want to talk about gifts. I know we just got through Christmas, but gifts are important. I don't know if you've ever just taken time to think about, contemplate gifts and giving and all that kind of thing. Now, the word gift is interesting, and so actually I went back to Google. So Google gift, you know. I'm computer illiterate, basically, but that wasn't too much of a challenge. And this is the definition that I got. A gift or a present is an item given to someone without the expectation of payment or return. Okay? Then it went on. An item is not a gift if that item is already owned by the one to whom it is given. That's pretty good, yeah? Although gift-giving might involve an expectation of reciprocity, a gift is meant to be free. In many countries, the act of mutual exchanging of money, goods, etc., may sustain social relations and contribute to social cohesion. So it's, in our country, that's true. Everybody gives, and it helps the economy and all that. And Maybe it even brings you closer together to family and friends as you take the time to be together and give those gifts. Economists have elaborated the economics of gift giving into the notion of a gift economy. So now they call a gift economy, and they're able to say, you know, how much we as a nation gain from the gift economy. By extension, the term gift can refer to any item or act or service that makes the other happier or less sad, especially as a favor, including forgiveness and kindness. Gifts are also first and foremost presented on occasions such as birthdays and holidays. And I thought this was interesting. It closes with this. The United States retail industry generated over $3 trillion U.S. dollars during the holidays in 2013. These holiday sales reflected about 20% of the retail industry's total sales for that year. So gift giving contributes 20% of the economy for a year during the holidays alone. Now, first, when I think about gifts, I think of gifts we give each other. We think about gifts we give to God. I think about gifts God gives to us. So with the first one, gifts we give each other, I want you to think and respond to me. What is the most memorable gift that you have ever received? We love to receive gifts, don't we? Last night we had our Christmas with my daughter and granddaughter because they live in Milwaukee. They came down for the weekend. And my granddaughter loves to open gifts. 3 years old. So she opened every gift for everybody. Love getting gifts. And then when she got hers, boy, she got the plane with that. And then she said, I don't want to open anymore. I want to play. This is my gift. Any other memorable gift? Let me share mine. I was about 10 years old. Mom and my sister and me, we lived in an apartment house in New York City, in Spanish Harlem. She worked to raise us kids, a single mom. And we didn't get very many gifts. I had an Aunt Flo, good old Aunt Flo and Uncle Carl. They showed up at Christmas with gifts for us. And my brother, myself, and my cousin, the three of us, we were about the same age, 10, 11 years old, received Hopalong Cassidy outfits. Now, some of you older folks will remember Hopalong Cassidy. He was a radio Western back in the 40s and then became a TV Western back in the 50s. And so we have a picture. We only have about 4 or 5 pictures of me when I was a kid. We didn't have a camera. But one of those pictures is the three of us in our Hopalong Cassidy outfits. So when I think back on memorable gifts, boy, my Hoppy and my little gun, my holster, my hat. And then, of course, getting my pacemaker on my birthday, that was a memorable gift too. Keeps me going. Giving is a great part of life, and giving and receiving, God's word says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I read that sometimes and say, oh, is that true? Is it more blessed to give than to receive? Or do I rather receive? And then I start thinking about times when I've given and the feeling that you get, especially when you give it to somebody that you love and care for, and their response is so great that you just, wow. Then there's also that little pride that says, I gave. you don't want that one. Gifts usually express love. And I know sometimes that's corrupted. There are ulterior motives to giving many times. You think of the widow who gave the mite, small coin, and the rich man who was there giving his bags of money. When you ever see flannel graph teaching kids this story, they always have the guy with a bag of money and then the lady with just that little thing. And he gave to show the people that he gave. It wasn't so much worship and praise and for God, but, you know, to how people looked at him. So his motives were rather selfish. Now, the story we read in Luke, the story tells about a person giving a banquet, inviting people to come. Later on in the story, it tells about inviting people, and they came up with excuses. You know, I just got married, and so I can't come. You know, I just bought some stock, steers, bulls, whatever, and I've got to, you know, take care of them. I can't come to the banquet. I just bought some land. I need to go look at it. And of course, you go, you got bought some land without looking at it? Wait. So I can't come. And so the king says to his servants, go out to the highways and the byways and bring people in, the lame, the poor, those that are destitute. And let's feed them all. Wow. Giving without expecting in return. How often do we do that? Not often enough. Although I must say, the Christian church, in the countries where I have gone, the Christian church has responded when there were needs. Matter of fact, Puerto Rico. I've been there twice this year. Everywhere I go, I see teams from churches that have come to give their time, their energy, their resources to rebuild churches, to rebuild homes, to help people that needed the help. And so I commend the evangelical church in the U.S. for responding. We do a lot of things. But sometimes it's easier to do that for the folks overseas than it is for the folks right here at home. You know, it's easier to go somewhere else where I'm not known, than dealing with the folks down the street or in the next town. And maybe sometimes as a church we need to rethink that whole thing. How do we become more effective in our giving to those around us, as well as those far from us in need? Anyway, we give material gifts. We also give spiritual gifts. John said to the beggar at the beautiful gate, he says, silver and gold have we none. Here's this beggar been there every day asking for people to come. And Peter says to him, we don't have anything. But what we do have, he says, grabs him by the hand, says, stand up and walk. Whoa! Now, we all don't have the gift of healing. You might, and if you do, wow, do it. Use it. But what you do have, you have a lot of gifts that God has given you. You need to use them. So we give material things, we give spiritual things. We give of ourselves. We give of our time. Those of you who have parents or grandparents in nursing homes or in retirement villages or going and spending time with them. My mom was in a home in Washington when she came to live with us. She was with us for a while, and it came to the point we just could not. We could not help her. We didn't have the ability to do so. She needed professional help. She was 101. And her faculties were, I mean, she could have a great conversation with you. She'd be at the home, and the thing she loved the most is having me come and visit with her. Just go spend some time. And usually at lunchtime, I'd go and I'd play the piano in the cafeteria there, and the old folks would love it. And you get to talking with someone, and some don't get anybody to come visit. They just need a little time. Just go, even if they can't communicate, you go sit by them, and they enjoy your company. What a gift, huh? So we can give of our time, we give of our presence. Real giving, a gift of appreciation, of affection, of genuine love to another. This is what I mean when I say that gifts express love. Our Lord reminds us in the Bible of people who have feasts and invite others. And I actually jumped ahead on that, so I'm still working on how to use my notes. I've only done this for about 50 years. And then we have gifts that come to us from people who are blessed. I got to tell you the story. We came to visit Peoria while we were living in Denver and working at the international office. And I was preaching at a church where there are some friends that have been supporting us forever. Just before we left Denver to come during the Christmas season, one of the gals in the office says to me, "Hey, listen, we're rearranging our living room. We have a piano there that we want to sell. Our kids are gone. Nobody plays it. Do you know of anyone who would be interested, or would you be interested?" And I said, "Well, I'll look at it." I had a piano that I had bought for $100 back in 1976, and it had pretty well worn its way. It was ready to be replaced. And so I went and looked at this piano, and I said, "Well, you know, how much are you looking for?" She says, "Well, we bought it for $10,000. And I said, "Oh, nice piano." I said, "If I know someone who's interested, you know," and I played it and checked it out, and so it was nice. So a few weeks later, she came and said, "We need to move that piano. We're willing to take $8,000 for it." Okay. A few weeks later, she comes and says, "We're willing to take $6,000 for this piano." And just before I left to come to Peoria, she says, "We're willing to take $4,000." I said, "Well, now I'm starting to get interested." We get to Peoria, go to this church. This couple comes up and says, "Hey, we had some funds come unexpected, and we want to share it with you." And she put it in my pocket. Well, I waited till I got home, and I opened up the check, and it was for $2,000. And I turned to my wife and I said, "Marcia, that piano just came down to $2,000. We can probably afford $2,000. So we bought the piano. It's in my living room at home. A black ebony baby grand that I play almost every day. It was a gift that God gave me, unexpected to me, and because of the blessings that others shared with us. I want to share one more with you. I was in Cuba visiting with this pastor. He'd never left the island. He's all his life there. Wore a size 14 shoe. Can't hardly find shoes in Cuba. But finding a size 14 is almost impossible. The ones he had on were pretty well worn, and those had been left by people visiting Cuba. So when I came home, I thought, "I wonder if Jerry Trachuk down at the mission might have shoes that people donate." And so I went to see Jerry. And Jerry taught me a lesson, I got to tell you. Jerry says to me, after I told him about the pastor, he says, "That pastor deserves new shoes. We're not giving him any old shoes somebody gave us." I felt a little bit rebuked, and should have been. So we went down to a shoe store and got him a pair of 14 size wingtips. Beautiful dress shoes. And then got him another pair of everyday shoes. My next trip down to Cuba, I took them to this pastor. He bawled. He says, "I've never had new shoes." And I learned, it is better to give than to receive. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the Macedonian Christians first gave themselves to the Lord and then to each other. So we receive from one another. We receive from the Lord. Give to the Lord. But the answer is first, before they gave themselves to each other, they gave themselves to the Lord. See, once you've given yourself to the Lord and you have that relationship with God, when you give to others, it's just not given to others. Now, Scripture says, "Do all things as unto the Lord." So when you're given to others, you're given to the Lord. And the meaning of giving then all of a sudden takes a whole different frame, a whole different level. Wow, isn't this not, I go down to Walmart and buy something and give it away. Now I'm thinking, how can I give to someone's needs that will even draw them closer to Jesus? They gave themselves to each other, but before that they gave themselves to the Lord. So we give to each other. What about gifts that we can give to Christ? The wise men came to Jesus and brought him gifts. If Jesus was born today, what gift would you give to Jesus? You know what? Don't say it out loud, but in your own mind, you say, Jesus, this is what I would give to you. And you fill in the blank. It could be some of the same gifts that you give others as far as presence. Not presence gift, but presence being there. Meet you every morning, Lord. I am here. Talk to me. Yourself, your family. Lord, I give you my family. I give you my husband. I give you my wife. Work in their lives. You can give Jesus a lot. Give yourself, first of all. You know, the scripture says that when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures. That sequence comes again, just like the Macedonians. They gave themselves to the Lord. The wise men bowed down and worshipped him first. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and incense. This morning I was kind of going through my notes again. And when I saw that, I said, when they opened their treasures and presented to him with gifts, I thought, what's the treasures? Everything that they had on their camels? But maybe it's more than that. They open themselves. They become transparent as they bow down before Jesus and give. Gold, incense, myrrh. You can also say time, presence, praises. What can I give Jesus? Then what did Jesus give us? Romans 12. I was just looking at the clock because I wasn't sure what time I'm supposed to be done. Someone know? 11:30-ish. Okay, so that's about 12:30-ish. No, 11:30-ish is good. Romans 12. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, like you may have the healing gift and I don't. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. There's that term again. According to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, this is the key term right here. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So every believer has a gift that God wants you to use to edify the body of Christ and to bless others. What happens so many times is that we get gifts we don't use. Can you imagine if this Christmas, or say last Christmas, somebody gave you a beautiful coffee maker? A $400 coffee maker. Bless some coffee maker, okay? And you take it home and you say, wow, look at that coffee maker. Woo! That is a great looking coffee maker. Let's put it in the closet. People come to your house and you say, you want a cup of coffee? Ah! You know what? We really haven't taken that coffee maker out of the box. How about some tea? We get these gifts that God has given us, and we got them in the closet. Use those gifts. You know what? Everybody has gifts. It says that everybody has a gift according to the grace given to you. God gives different gifts. Now, some people get more than one. 2, 3, 4 different gifts. You can hardly open the door of the closet. They're all in there. Now, some of you do use your gifts. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's Sunday school class. Maybe it's evangelism. You know, you're really good at talking one-on-one with folks. Maybe you can't get up on the platform and speak. You might be too nervous. But you got other ways that you can use your gift. Don't leave it in the closet. Use that gift. Help others. I think of the churches, folks that give to the shoebox ministry every year. And they love going out and filling those boxes and bringing them in. And I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go to the distribution center here where all these people are putting all these boxes together to put into trucks, and had a little worship time with them and just thank them for the hours and hours that they take to do this. I've actually had the opportunity to be in a country where people receive the shoe boxes, and those folks are excited about getting that gift, the only gift they may be getting for Christmas. Those kids are just, wow. And the parents are excited to see their kids getting gifts. I hope your church is involved in that. That's just a great ministry. I'd love to push that wherever I go. The giving of gifts. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can. If you want to. So as you think of gifts and the way God has blessed you and the people that He's put in your life and the gifts He's given you, let's use them. And I'm almost there. Oh, we've got a few more minutes. Tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to just go to the piano and play. You know what? Part of the thing I do for myself for my praise and worship time is I sit at the piano at home. Thank the Lord for those folks that allowed me to have that piano in the first place. And just kind of play and enjoy the Lord's presence. And sometimes I'll sing and sometimes I just play. And so that'll be my gift to you guys this morning. Thank you. I've a friend who's always near me. And I've a friend who always cheers me. I've a friend who is so dear to me. What a precious friend is he. Ooh. He'll go with me through the valley. He'll go with me every day, come what may. Savior, help me to have faith in thee. What a precious friend is he.